Helen Yee. Follow her on social media at Helen Yee Sports. This is Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee on Sports 920 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? UFC 243 takes place tomorrow. Well, technically today, or not today, Sunday morning if you're in Melbourne. If I sound a little sick, it's probably because the cold has gotten to me, I know, or the jet lag. But anyway, just today I do have interviews with Paulo Costa, Ally Quinta, Israel Adesanya for you on the show, and a little flashback Friday since a lot of pro wrestling is being talked about right now. So I do have a flashback Friday interview with Mark Henry coming up on the show. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. Check out lvsportsnetwork.com. I appreciate your continued support. Let me know who you think will win. Do you think it'll be Israel or will it be Robert Whittaker? And if you're asking me who I think will win, I think the slight edge does go to Robert Whittaker. He looks great and very sharp at his open workout. I mean, a lot of people like to point out the fact that he's been out for a long time, but I think, as we've seen from some fighters, sometimes layoffs can be a good thing, and I think for Robert Whittaker, it will work to his advantage. So I actually do think that he will beat Israel on Saturday night at UFC 243. But once again, I mean, you tell me what you think and who you think will win. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. Check out lvsportsnetwork.com. Check out the site. I'll have the interviews in with Robert Whittaker on there as well. So we'll be right back with these messages. But when we get back, we have all the interviews coming up. So stay tuned. You're listening to Eyes on the Game.
Welcome back to Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee on Sports 920 The Game.
Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here at a barbecue restaurant here in Las Vegas. And look who I run into, the world's strongest man slash Olympian, WWE Hall of Famer, former world heavyweight champion, Mr. Mark Henry himself. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So, well, first off, we are here, like I mentioned, at a barbecue restaurant. I won't eat on camera this time.
Why?
Well, because once I ate pizza on camera and everyone got mad at me.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's borderline hating.
You're right.
I can't hate. I'm crackling. There's nothing wrong with eating a little crackling on air.
You're right, and they do crackle. So is barbecue your favorite food?
It is. Growing up in Texas, it's pretty common. Yeah. Every city has a different style of barbecue, and it's like a constant competition going on. So I try to go and partake of everybody's.
Well, what's your favorite thing to order?
Brisket. Being from Texas, I'm a beef guy, but I do like pork ribs.
They both sound really good.
Oh, man. Like a rib that's got like a little sweetness to it. That's my favorite. That's my jam.
And the tangy, the texture. You're making me hungry. Luckily, there's food. I know I may have to eat on camera pretty soon. But speaking of barbecue, though, and I'm going to try not to talk much about it, but how is a barbecue in Vegas compared to Austin?
Well, I mean, nothing really compares to Texas barbecue. Yeah. And everybody has, you know, Memphis would say different. Carolina would say different. Kansas City would say different. Those are kind of the cities that have, you know, kind of more barbecue histories. Yeah. But I think that a place like this where the Michael Simon is a famous chef, and if he puts his emphasis and his input on a restaurant, then you know it's going to be good.
But have you tried JR's barbecue sauce? I saw you were on his show.
Yeah, I love JR's sauce. I have his mustard sauce in my refrigerator. And it's good. Like, you know, you can't just eat it just with barbecue. You can eat it with eggs. You can eat it with breakfast. I mean, it's good stuff.
A regular mustard, or is it barbecue mustard?
It's barbecue sauce, but it's a mustard barbecue sauce. It's like I don't know what the percentage is, but it's, you can taste the mustard, but you can tell it's barbecue sauce.
Oh, I'm going to have to email JR. Hopefully, you know.
Send you a free bottle.
Yeah, hopefully my email doesn't go into his spam mails. But anyway, so here in Vegas, what brings you here?
Well, I'm here primarily for the Cauliflower Alley Club event. I'm receiving an award, and I'm very honored to be receiving the award. And but I'm also doing Monday nights with Mark Henry, where on Monday nights in select cities, I go and watch wrestling with fans. And I'm doing it at the Ainsworth. Oh, well, actually, it's not the Ainsworth. It's the same company, but this one is
Aces and Ales.
Okay. And, man, I'm looking forward to getting over there and having fun with the fans.
So for the fans who may be in different cities and want to watch wrestling with you, how can they get more information on that?
Well, the best way is to go to markhenry.live.
Okay.
But, you know, just follow me on social media, the Mark Henry on everything, and, you know, look for posts. I try to post stuff as much as I can and hopefully get people interested in hanging out. And I'm more a down-to-earth guy. Like, people think that, you know, I'm going to beat them up because they've watched my wrestling history for the last 23 years. I'm not going to hit nobody for free, I promise you.
Or pick up cars, right?
No, I'm not going to pick nothing heavy up. I mean, this pork rind is about the heaviest thing I'm going to lift today.
Hey, it's pretty heavy, though.
Maybe in calories, but they're light and fluffy.
But hey, well, it's cheat day. But speaking of your wrestling career, I know now you are more behind the scenes with the WWE. But about your career, though, what is kind of a memory that really, you know, sticks out, or something that's prominent that when you look back, you're like, you know what, that was one of my favorite moments?
As far as my wrestling career, I'd have to say that the whole Mae Young saga is right up there with me winning the titles because of the significance it had on my career. It lasted this whole time, and I think it'll outlive me. Winning the title against Randy Orton and the heavyweight title was very important in my journey. And I definitely love the fact that I was able to have win the ECW World Championship, and my legacy with the Nation of Domination. There's no loss for different eras, but, you know, wrestling the Undertaker at WrestleMania 22 in the streak and being one of the main events of WrestleMania was a big deal. So, I mean, I've had some shining moments.
Yeah, so many moments. And like you said, winning the title. And I believe when you did win, they said that you were only the fifth African-American to win a WWE title, right?
Well, I was the fourth at that time. Kofi Kingston is one now, so there's five.
Yeah. What do you think of him, you know, beating Daniel Bryan to win that at WrestleMania?
I thought it was an unbelievable thing for every little black kid that looks for somebody to kind of identify with.
Yeah.
And Kofi has done a good job as an ambassador to African-American people, as well as wrestling fans. And, you know, he's done a really, really good job of showing up and, you know, being a guy that shows leadership. And that's more important to me than his color, is what kind of leader he is.
Yeah. Now, you know, you've had multiple nicknames, you know, from the World's Strongest Man to Sexual Chocolate back in the time.
Why you start smiling when you say Sexual Chocolate?
it's a cool nickname. Well, you're smiling.
Because you made me smile.
Well,
funny.
Well, I mean, you know, everyone loves chocolate, right?
Good, yes.
But do you think that at the time, and speaking of, you know, just the evolution in general, do you think that Vince McMahon ever stereotyped gimmicks?
No, gimmicks are gimmicks. You know, like, we're a mirror. The wrestling business is a mirror of the world. And sometimes we distort the image, but for the most part, it's the reflection that makes people love it or hate it. And, you know, people look in the mirror and sometimes they love themselves and sometimes they hate themselves.
And what about The Rock? Do you guys still have, you know, a good friendship?
Yes, yeah, we have a good relationship. And I actually spoke to his mother last week and, you know, wished him well in this new movie that's coming out, you know, Shaw and Hobbs. So he's a special dude. Even if you don't talk all the time, we get together, nothing's changed. Time is frozen.
Exactly. And that's good to have those friendship that you pick up where you left off.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the important thing about friendship.
Absolutely. And for the fans, though, are there any, you know, funny moments maybe traveling together or backstage between you and The Rock?
You know, we always had a lot of funny moments, but I thought that he was crazy. We were driving from Detroit one time, and this song called Africa Bambaataa. It's a old school rap song, Planet Rock. And he's like, man, pull over. And I was like, what's wrong? He's like, man, just pull over. And I pulled over on the side of the road, and he got out of the passenger seat and started dancing, pop locking on the road. And I'm like, get your ass in the car. And he's like, and we ended up both dancing outside on the highway.
Pop locking.
Yeah, just crazy. Just crazy.
Well, you were starting to do it. I'm not a good dancer, but can you show us your moves?
Oh, man, I do a little wave, you know, pass it to you. You know, you pass it back.
How?
If I pass it to you, then you got to pass
with,
it back.
With this here?
Yeah. See that? That's all we do. Pick it up. That's pop locking.
I have no rhythm.
We'll work on it. We'll work
okay.
on it.
Okay. And then also, what about Brock Lesnar? You know, what do you think of his whole situation? And at WrestleMania, Paul Heyman saying that, you know, just kind of making that speech that he'll be coming to Vegas where he's ultimately appreciated.
You know, I think Brock is appreciated in the first place. I mean, him being a talent like he is, he don't really need to be there every day. I thought that was always a bad look for the fans to expect him to do like everybody else because he was not like everybody else. And, you know, there's always been a double standard, and there always will be a double standard. And Brock, the fighting world loves Brock because he's like Godzilla. He's like King Kong. He's a bigger-than-life entity, and I think that the fighting games needs a guy that he may not be the most polished fighter, but he's just so big and so strong that it just creates a mismatch that is hard to recover from.
Strong, but not world's strongest man.
Well, not world's strongest man, but he's really, really strong. And especially guys that are under 270 pounds, naturally he's going to be a lot stronger than they are.
What did you think of his career in the WWE, or not WWE, in the UFC, and if he does come back and fight Daniel Cormier?
You know, I think it would be good. I think that Brock, there was a couple of fights that Brock took too early. I think that he should have let his body heal, especially when he fought Overeem. He was coming off of that diverticulitis and injury, and Overeem just kicked him in the gut until he just couldn't defend himself. And I think that was a bad move for Brock. But I think Brock now is as healthy as I've seen him. And when I saw him last, he looked in incredible shape. You know, and you normally couldn't see abs and muscles and stuff. He was just a big, strong guy.
Yeah.
But now you can see it. Like, he's training.
Yeah, washboard.
I don't know about washboard, but it's he'll get your clothes clean.
Do you think that he'll be making that UFC return?
I think he will. I mean, there's no way that he would have lost 40 pounds if he didn't plan on fighting. You know, he can entertain at 280, 300 pounds. But if he's going to fight, he's going to have to be about 260 and in really good condition. And I think that's another reason why Brock had issues before is his conditioning, because he was still wrestling and doing UFC. Wrestling and doing UFC. Now he's going to focus his attention on UFC, and I think he's gonna give him as much problem as anybody has ever gave.
When do you think he'll make that return?
I don't know. I'm a fan like you. You know, I sit back and watch, and I know Daniel Cormier is training. Like, there's no way that with the thought of somebody like Brock coming back, that he wouldn't have the motivation. And every fighter, the thing that makes you special is the fact that you're able to overcome all the things and you want a challenge. And Daniel's been a champion from a young kid, so, you know, it's going to be good to see him get in there and battle with Brock.
And being a MMA and UFC fan yourself, who are some of your fighters' favorite fighters to watch?
I always like Anderson Silva. I like Dillashaw. I mean, even in Cormier, I mean, to see him do the things that he's done. Bones Jones is somebody that is real unorthodox, and you don't know what to expect. And he's kind of rangy. He could do stuff that other people can't do, especially big guys. So, you know, that's guys that I like.
Do you think that John Jones is currently the pound-for-pound best MMA fighter?
You know what? He's been gone for a while. I can't give an accolade like that to somebody that hasn't been able to go back and show, okay, I'm back. Yeah. And when that day comes, then I think that he will be, but I can't give that to him right now.
Who do you regard as a pound-for-pound greatest right now then?
Oh, my gosh. You know, there's so many guys right now that that warrant that kind of attention. But who has both belts?
Daniel Cormier did have to relinquish his light heavyweight.
Huh? He had to give one of the belts up?
Yeah. Oh. But he did have both.
Oh, man. That's you know what? I've been out of the loop. That's hurting my soul right now.
That's what I'm here to tell you.
Just a little counseling.
Yeah, counseling with a little barbecue and cracklings.
That you know, that usually makes me happy.
Yes. And but what about so TJ Dillashaw, I don't know if you heard, but recently he got caught for taking EPO. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not completely familiar with it. But anytime that, you know, there's any kind of drugs or blood doping or anything like that, I think it's a travesty for the sports.
What do you think should be done to kind of regulate it better?
Obviously, nothing is going to be done. I've been fighting it my whole life, in weightlifting and powerlifting, and it just sucks that the sports that I love so much, they couldn't do better. And the same thing with the fight game. You know, people are going to try to cheat. And there's some people that subscribe to this theory. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying to win. Well, that's not true. There's a lot of people that go to the gym every day, and they want to be the best human being that they can be in the ring and out of it. And for these guys to compete against them, knowing I've taken the drugs or I've done blood doping, I have an advantage on you, like that sucks. That's just very pitiful.
What do you have to say, or what are your thoughts on people who cheat or the fighters who cheat and try to get away with it?
If you want to do that, go fight people that take drugs and y'all know y'all take drugs and you don't care. Y'all go do that. But if it's a sanctioned fight where you don't take drugs and you don't cheat, don't cheat. Leave that for the guys that want to be naturalists.
Exactly. And so before the cameras were rolling, you did talk to me briefly about video games. So now that we're on camera, I do want to talk to you about that. What are some of your favorite video games?
You know what? Back in the day, Tekken was always like one of my...
No way. Me too. Well, actually, my younger brother, but he always beat me at it, so I would get so mad.
I know who he used too. Law. That was my guy. I always used Law, and we got to the point where me and the guys that I played, Shelton Benjamin was real good at this game. He used to beat me every time. Yeah. But it was like we both played with Law. So it was like, maybe if he played with a lesser fighter, then I could get him. But I never beat him. He was always real good.
Yeah, What about Mortal Kombat? Did you play any of that?
I played a little Mortal Kombat, but I was more of a Street Fighter than Mortal Kombat.
Who was your Street Fighter character?
Honda. Hook. Put those palm strikes on them. That was my gimmick. Get everybody cornered. I always went forward once I got them pinned, and that's what big guys do. They get you pinned, get you cornered, and then they do their thing.
That's true. Did you ever compete in any of those tournaments?
No. I actually did go to the Madden World Championships in Miami at the American Airlines Arena probably like 10, 15 years ago. Like, it was just starting.
Yeah.
And, man, that was like an unbelievable experience. There was like 6,000 people there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys did during your breaks from wrestling? I know you guys traveled a lot, didn't have many breaks, but during the breaks, was it playing video games?
Well, we really didn't take breaks. I mean, like, on the road, sometimes you have downtime. I would carry my system. I had a special bag, cushion and everything, carry my bag. Every city we went to, my games went with me.
Who was the best?
Everybody will say themselves, but if I had to pick, like, who was the best at Madden, I would say me. But the fighting games during that time, D'Lo Brown and Brian Christopher were pretty good. Now, you have Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins beat me in the championship of Madden a couple of years ago. And I still haven't lived it down. Every time you see me, remind me. But the Cowboys are a better team now, so we went Cowboys against Chicago. And maybe we need to play again.
Well, what did he win? Was there money in the pot, or?
It was you had to buy in, a $20 buy-in. It was probably about $200 with all the guys that were playing. But the loser got chopped. Every time you lost, you got chopped. And I got the last chop. He got me.
Well, hey, that's what rematches are for.
Yeah, I need to get his ass back.
And so are you a big football fan?
Love football.
Dallas Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboys, true and true.
But what about the Raiders coming here to Las Vegas? They are relocating here.
You know what? I'm happy for the Raider Nation. I think that despite the controversy of who they drafted first in this draft, they've got some free agent acquisitions, I think, that are going to be pay dividends. The drafts were not that bad either. I don't think that they got young players. They got people that are going to be able to, you know, be beneficial to them in the future years.
How well do you think that Antonio Brown will fit in?
Antonio Brown, if he's happy, he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. He's going to fit. Just throw him the ball.
Exactly. Yeah, that'll be. So does that mean we'll be able to see you in Las Vegas more? I mean, I know you're not the Raiders fan, but we're having a new stadium and, you know.
If the Cowboys play the Raiders here, I'll come. That's for sure. Or if I had a reason to come here, people want me to come and do appearances and stuff like that, reach out to me. I'll come. I love Vegas.
And for all your fans, though, is there, you know, any special fact about you or something that they may not know? Hidden talent, maybe you're a good singer, you know, you showed your dance moves.
I didn't really show my dance moves. You know, I got some special stuff, but I just hold back to not seem arrogant. You know, I'm trying to be humble.
Like, is it DDR, that dance revolution?
No dance revolution. I'm talking old school soul, James Brown moves. I keep them to myself, though, unless there's somebody step up and I'm very competitive. So if I got challenged, then I break it out.
What do you think about you know, pro wrestling back then to the era now?
You know what? About every 15 years, wrestling does a reboot. And it's just a different style. See, I start talking about James Brown, and James Brown starts playing.
They heard you.
It was meant to be. But, you know, wrestling just, it just cycles. Like, I think that we are going to go back into characters again. I think that people want to see the clown. They want to see, you know, the monster guy, you know, like, businesses went away from that, and I think that is coming back.
Who do you think is the best right now?
Seth Rollins is really talented. But right now, we don't have a dominant one person anymore. Due to guys retiring and the young revolution starting to change, the Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman, like those guys are the ones that I see like right off the bat. But there's still older guys that's still hanging around that's really, really good. AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston, Samoa Joe, like there's guys that are really, really talented, and they're not gonna just relinquish, you know, that positioning. They wanna stay at the top, and these young guys like Baron Corbin, they're gonna have to come and take it from them.
But was there ever a wrestler who you thought had the potential to be great but never lived up to it?
Not really. I think that you are who you are, and there's a lot of guys that, you know, maybe their role wasn't to be champion, you know. So, I mean, you look at the UFC, everybody wants to be champion, but there's only gonna be one. So, you know, it's just a constant fight.
And Conor was the champ. Conor McGregor, were you a fan of his, or are you?
I'm a fan of the fact that how much work he put in and that he was actually good at what he did. But, you know, like, there were times where he would say stuff that I didn't think applied, especially as it related to pro wrestling. I wasn't a fan of everything he said. I don't think nobody was.
Do you think he would do well in the WWE?
Of course, he's an unbelievable talent. But, you know, he would have to monitor himself and realize that there's weight classes in pro fighting. And in the WWE, you got a bunch of tough guys that don't fight, and there's no weight class. Yeah. So you got to be careful what you say.
And Ronda Rousey, what about her?
Ronda is one of my favorite people. I think that she's been able to do something that very few people have been able to do. And when I say very few, I can only think of one, Kurt Angle. And another outstanding, unbelievable talent that's transcendent. He would have been good at whatever he chose. So Ronda is definitely that. She's an unbelievable talent. And, you know, I think that after she has this baby, that she'll come back and be even better than she was before.
Well, I greatly appreciate your time. I know your food's coming out. I'll let you eat the cracklings. But do you want to let all your fans know anything?
Well, keep up with me. The Mark Henry on everything social media. You can go to markhenry.live. You can always find out what I'm doing next. And come out and support. We'll have a good time.
Helene here with Eyes on the Game, here being joined by the one and only, the man of the hour, Mr. Israel Adesanya. Now, big fight for you coming up. A good reception yesterday during your open workout.
I was quite surprised because I...
How? Why?
I just thought it would be either silent or booze, but actually some people were showing love, so I was like, ah, man, now I got to show up.
Especially the guy that you gave your gloves to, right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool because I didn't want to just... See, the pandering thing would have been like to find some small kid and be like, here you go, take a picture, smile and wave. But no, I wanted to give them to someone who actually is going to use them, who actually works. So I said, show me your Instagram. Let me see you working. Do you spar? And he showed me and I was like, okay, cool. You can have these. And I told him to take care of them.
Well, that's good that you made sure. I watched Embedded, and something I noticed in episode 2, you said going into your fight against Kelvin Gastelum, yeah, you weren't happy like your other fights, and there was something personal going on. Is that all taken care of? And what was
Definitely. Look at me now. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but what was it?
I can't tell you that.
Really?
No.
Well, luckily everything is good now. You said it was like a rebirth. How so?
Going back to my birthland, my home country, that's some Simba Mufasa. You have to understand, like him. When Robert went back to New Zealand, it was different because he did it with the UFC. He notified the UFC. They brought all these cameras. The UFC were trying to get to me. They hit up my management team. They hit up my coaches. They hit up my parents. But I told them, I didn't even have to tell them. Everyone just said, nah, this is a personal trip for him. And I had fun. I was just, I wanted to stay away from all that. So for me, it was truly, genuinely about reconnecting with my people. And I can't explain it to people because they would never understand. So, yeah.
You always talk about being really good at, like, sensing things and even predicting things. And, for example, you predicted this, and you're already talking about the John Jones fight. You want to fight him Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas?
Yeah, definitely. I decided that in July because at the hotel, I was at the Palms, and in my room I could see it being built. And, yeah, it just dawned on me, like, that's where it's going to be.
What do you think of that stadium so far?
I haven't been inside, but from where I'm looking, that looks huge. It looks dope.
So right now, do you consider John Jones number one pound for pound?
Yes.
Lastly, for all your fans, Zuffa Boxing, Dana White's about to make that announcement. I know your boxing career 5-1. Would you consider doing that as well?
I want to end my career in the UFC. I think this is the pinnacle of combat sports. Don't get me wrong. I've done boxing. I've done kickboxing. I've done some jiu-jitsu tournaments, and I have placed second and third twice, motherfucker. But, those are limited forms of fighting. Those are limited. There's a reason why I jumped into MMA, because I never want to be limited. I never want to be, like, I never want to feel like another man can whoop my ass in any style. So this is the pinnacle of combat sports, in my opinion. So I'm going to finish my career in the UFC.
Here with Eyes on the Game, being joined by Paulo Costa and Eric Abarasin. Coach, how are you guys liking it here in Australia?
I like too much here. It's a beautiful city, beautiful people, and nice people also. They receive me very well. I'm glad to be here.
I love it here. It's like a melting pot. It's like New York City, Frankfurt, and a bunch of different cities all rolled into one, different countries, and they're treating us very well. I love it here.
But is it true that yesterday you guys took a fan out to lunch?
Yes.
Sorry?
You took a fan, one of your fans, to lunch.
Yeah. Cerrudo friends. Cerrudo bring one fan to lunch with us. Was good.
True, it is true. He and her... Cejudo also anointed him as president of the Cringe Club.
For a minute I was like, wait, Paulo president of the Cringe Club? Or?
No, the fan. His name's Mark. Mark Torby, I believe.
Did he give you guys a boomerang? Because he gave the schmo a boomerang.
He did. He did give us a boomerang. He gave us a boomerang. I don't know if he got a boomerang.
No.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah, boomerang. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Like everyone's going to ask you, obviously, we know you're here for that fight, and you want Israel to win. Yeah. If he wins, how do you think he will win by?
Okay, I think for decision. You know, I think for decision, because Israel have a good skills, but not have a lot of punch, you know, a lot of power on his punch to finish the fight. And Whitaker, Uzodi, won by decision also, so they not have a powerful like me, you know, to finish the fight very soon. I have 13 fights and 12 finishes, but they not. They usually goes to decision, so I think this fight will go to decision also.
Now, after this fight, I mean, when are you ready to get back in the octagon?
Yeah. I think very soon, December, January, I can fight.
And you're ready for him to come back to the gym and train?
Always ready. Actually, I'm...
Are you ready to take another belt? 50? How you say?
Fifth world title belt. Definitely ready for Paulo to claim his first world title and a fifth world title belt for, like, all the guys.
Coach of the year candidate right here, right?
Yes, for me, is no doubt about that.
And also, because you are coaching so many champions, I mean, Henry Cejudo, Pitbull, and they're double champions, we've heard Israel say that eventually he would like to move up in weight. When you win the middleweight title, would that be something you would consider later on, trying to move up in weight to win another title?
I have to think, Coach.
This could be not only a champ, he could be one of the first to ever do it three times. Maybe middleweight champ, light heavyweight champ, and heavyweight champ. If someone could do it, he could do it.
I believe that. If he say, I believe that.
Yeah, and recently, though, you did post a tweet. I just wanted you to clarify it because some people were confused when you said that Jeremy Stephens, what he did was shameful. Can you kind of just clarify your tweet?
Yes. Look, I need to say, in my last fight, Yo Romero put all your fingers, all his fingers inside. All his fingers.
His whole finger.
His whole, yeah, that's it. His whole fingers. Yeah. Finger, and I don't ask him referee to stop, you know. And when the painter is the guy who fight against Jeremy.
Oh yeah.
Who is his name?
What's the guy?
Yair Rodriguez. Yeah, the painter. Yeah. The Pantera. His nickname. He don't put his fingers inside. He passed in the face. I think Jeremy Stephens don't like fight against him, you know, because in Mexico City a lot of people pressure him. So I think he arregou, cara. Como é que fala? How you say?
Gave up.
He gave up of the fight, you know. So for me, it's shameful, you know.
But they are rebooking that fight. Do you think they should have or no?
Yes, because the people who when American people or European people go to South America, he feel a lot of pressure. Because the people in Brazil, in Mexico, is like a football, soccer fans, you know, so excited. And they create a very hard pressure on the fighters, you know, and the fighters don't like this. Yeah, cara. Yeah, he just passed his hand on Jeremy's face, not on the fingers.
The doctor said he had a scratch in his cornea.
Yeah, he don't agree with
this
me.
This guy's brutal, man. This guy's got a corneal scratch. He's like, he should fight.
I think not. I think it was very, very... it's not a hard injury, you know. Because if he's coming and asking for Jeremy open the eye, he no cannot open. Why he not open the eyes? You know, I don't understand. Because I think not injure his eyes, but it's my opinion. He don't agree with me, but it's okay. Respect, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, hey, you're standing by and true to your opinion.
Yeah, tough guys, you know, we come to fight and. This. I think these things happen. You need to be hard. You know, you need to be an unbreakable mind. It's at
what this guy's unbreakable. He's unbreakable.
And he is erasing his opponents down the line. Lastly, what would you like to tell all your fans?
Huh? Sorry.
What would you like to tell all your fans?
Okay. I'd like to say just thank you for all support, you know. Who follow my career. Knows I'm training for be the best, and I will be the best. I'm coming for be the best of the world. I have the best coaches of my sides, and good jiu-jitsu coach, my brother, Carlos Borracho, Eric Albarracin, for me, the best coach of the year, Badola, a lot of good people. So I come to be the best of the world. Thank you very much.
And anything to add, coach?
Yeah, everybody get ready because the eraser has arrived. He's here to erase minds in 2019. He's coming after that middleweight belt. 2020, who knows, maybe he's going after a second belt.
Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here, being joined by the one and only Mr. Al Iaquinta. Now, yesterday for the open workouts, you have a lot of fans here in Australia. Got a good reception. What did you think of it?
Yeah, no, I think it went great. It was, I figured it'd kind of be like that. And then it was a little more than I expected. The fans were really into it. Got a lot of cheers. A lot of people were asking for pictures and stuff. So it's always good when you come to a place as far. It's crazy that how this whole thing works, that we're halfway across the world and people still know about me and the sport, and they're fans of my fighting, something that I put so much work into this game, and in Australia they're respecting it. So it's a really cool thing.
It's almost like you're halfway across the world, but you still feel like you're at home, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's the third time I'm coming to Australia. Every time the people make me feel at home, and I just have a good rapport with everybody. They're people that they work hard and they play hard, and I think that's something that I have in common with them for sure. So it's always good coming here.
Now, I was watching Embedded, and you said you're taking a trip to Maui after?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, as long as everything goes the way it should. I have one of my friends, he teaches real estate seminars across the nation. Yeah, so it just worked out that there's going to be one right after this. So hopefully everything works out. I can make it down there and progress on that end of things as well.
Like a celebration, first time there?
It'll be my first time to Hawaii for sure. I always wanted to go, so this is like a little bit of work and fun.
After your last fight, though, you said you were training in general, right? And then you got the call for Dan Hooker. Was he the first one that was offered to you?
Yeah. So I was just training. I kind of think I offered them the fight. You know, he said my name, and then I approached the UFC about the fight and said that I wanted to fight here, Marvel Arena, 65,000 people, the Australian, in front of the great Australian fans. So I think that it all just came together. I was in shape, ready to go. The timing worked out, early October, tough opponent. It's all good.
Well, what did you think of his win over James Vick?
Well, it was a great win. It was a great win over a tough opponent. So he definitely opened a lot of people's eyes, and I think that's what put him, you know, we're the co-main event for a reason. There's a lot of great fighters on this card, but he's put on a lot of great performances in the lightweight division, and so have I. So I think that the people are really looking forward to this fight.
Now, Justin Gaethje, I know you guys were scheduled to fight in the past. He just fought Cowboy Cerrone. What did you think of that fight?
He looked good. He looked strong. He looked powerful in that fight. Cerrone, I don't know. I think he's had a lot of fights in a short amount of time. But no, Justin, he looked great in that fight.
When you are victorious on Sunday morning here,
I've done a bunch of interviews, and everyone keeps saying if you're victorious, and you said when you are victorious, and I love it.
Yeah, the positive attitude, right, and going into Maui. But would a Justin Gaethje fight still, you know, interest you in the future?
Absolutely. I think that's a fight that's going to happen eventually. Right now, my focus is on Dan Hooker. He is a huge threat. He's got a lot of dangerous points to his game, but I've been taking them all into consideration, and I will be in this fight, but I plan on running right through him. And if Justin Gaethje's there after the fact, that's definitely a fight that I want to make happen.
And lastly, what did you think about Dustin Poirier's fight and performance against Khabib?
I thought that Khabib did what Khabib does, and I think Dustin, it looked like he was physically maybe ready, but more mentally, I don't know. What he was saying in between rounds, it didn't seem like he had visualized the fight going that way, which I think is something when you're fighting Khabib, you probably should. But yeah, it was a it was it was a it was a Khabib fight. That's what he does. I think Khabib showed, again, he was in a little bit of adversity and small doses throughout the fight, but he pulled through everything with ease.